Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to Hour 2 of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, Bill the Producer here, Jimmy the Bubble Boy. And we kick off this hour of the show literally from across the pond. We have our buddy Roz, our diver, you know, reporter from the U.K., and
Roz with Underwater Marketing. You can check out underwatermarketing.com or her Facebook page for Underwater Marketing.
Yes. And her and Bill have they have kind of like a special connection, I think. I don't know. Maybe it's just the
maybe
accent.
It's because we have a vocabulary that transcends 1,000 words.
That could be it.
And it's multisyllabic.
It's kind of a gaze. You know, you look at Bill when he's talking to Roz on the phone, and it has kind of that stalker look to it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Although I suppose that is possible, I believe it is unlikely.
Is it?
Yes.
I don't know. Roz, are you with us? Can you hear us?
Hello? I can hear you perfectly, both.
Okay, good.
And it's always charming to talk to Bill and to you, Greg.
Well, I think you're welcome. I don't know. That kind of sounded like one of those backward-type compliments, you know, backhanded compliments.
You know what? You keep this up, you're going to get a backhand.
What?
That's going to happen.
See, he's on the other side of the glass. I can make comments like this. Roz, you hear what I'm saying? You're on the other side of the planet, so I'm safe.
Yes, very safe.
Yes.
But we're going to meet up in a couple of months' time at DEMA, so, and the three of us are meeting up, I believe, so heaven knows what could happen then.
Yeah, that's right. So you're telling me to be on my best behavior, because you'll get back at me if I keep this going.
I couldn't possibly comment, Greg.
Well, what's been going on is in your part of the world as far as diving and that kind of stuff? Because I know that's what you specialize in as far as not only just diving itself, but knowing what's been going on, especially in the technical diving world.
In fact, I think I would go so far as to describe her as a world-renowned expert.
Yes,
on technical diving, especially in Europe.
No, please don't say that.
Why?
That's so curlingly embarrassing.
But it's true.
Thank you. But I just know a little bit about diving. So what's been happening? Well, I used to work in Egypt. About 10 years ago, I was working in Egypt as an instructor and a guide. And I decided to go off to Sharm el-Sheikh at the beginning of the month, which is in the Sinai Peninsula, off the top of Red Sea.
Okay.
And went diving. And, oh, gosh, it was fantastic. Nothing's changed and everything's changed. The diving is still as beautiful as ever. It's really amazing. And the reefs were in really good health. And there was lots of marine life in the resort. There were mantas, whale sharks seen, dolphins, turtles.
Now, that's very tropical type of, or warm water type of diving. I mean, you know, it's really nice bathing suit type stuff. Now, but you're into this technical stuff where it's like, you know, you're diving in waters that are so cold, just talking about it gives me the shakes. You hear what I'm saying?
Well, there's actually awesome technical diving in Sharm el-Sheikh. I was diving with Pure Red Sea, and they are, we'd be the specialists.
Oh, okay.
And so, you know, you've got massive drop-offs, so you can go and do a 100-meter technical dive out in the Red Sea, and you've got really clear water, and you've got warm, it was 30 degrees, which is about 90 degrees Fahrenheit, I think.
Yeah, so that's perfect water for, like, Naked Scuba Boy for Halloween. I mean, but they frown on that kind of stuff over in that part of the world, I guess, huh? They're not as liberal as we are here.
That's not a picture I really want in my head, actually.
What are you talking about? You haven't seen me lately. I've been pumping iron.
La, 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 I can't hear you.
Oh, boy. Oh,
Greg, well, eating iron supplements does not constitute pumping iron.
Yeah,
yeah, it's
I
not
guess
the same.
True.
All right, so she was diving in the Red Sea, going down 300 feet.
It's insane.
In 90-degree water.
Yeah.
But your plans are to get back into the cold water in the not-terribly-distant future, right, Roz?
Yes, I wasn't diving 100 meters down there. I was only diving like 30, 40 meters down there.
Okay.
But you can do tech stuff there, and it was awesome. And it's, you know, really safe in resort and very good in resort and fantastic. And if you get the opportunity to go and dive in the Red Sea resort, grab it. But yes.
Did you say that you used to actually work there 10 years ago?
Yeah, I did.
Oh.
It used to be my office.
Oh, really? So, I mean, you just lived in that part of the world and were doing the same kind of thing, or were you working
at a dive facility? I was working there
as a professional dive guide and instructor, so I was teaching scuba diving and guiding scuba diving. So I was diving like 2, 3, 4 times a day every day.
Wow. That's awesome.
In some of the very best diving in the world.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
So why'd you leave and go to the UK where it's much, it's not nearly as good there? I know, but you travel around, I guess, right?
I travel around. I wanted to develop my career with what I'm doing now, so
okay.
So that's why I left.
Got it.
But yes, Bill's mentioned I'm going somewhere cold, and yes, I'm off to Scotland soon. I'm going off to Scarborough Flow, which is in the Orkneys, and this is a very famous historic natural harbour. It's where the Brits used to keep the high sea, keep our home fleet.
Yes.
And it's where the Kaiser's fleet ended up after Jutland, the German fleet ended up after Jutland in the First World War,
okay.
Which is a bit of a score draw, that battle.
Yeah.
And they got scuttled there. What happened was that the armistice, the Germans surrendered in November 1918, and come the summer of 1919, von Reuter, who was the admiral of the German fleet, he thought that the armistice was going to break, and he had no ammunition and not many men, and he had not very much fuel or food, and he wanted to return Germany's honour. He wanted to restore Germany's honour somehow. And so what he did was he arranged the mass suicide of his ships, and he arranged for his ships to scuttle.
Right.
And it was on the 21st of June, and for some reason the Brits, we'd gone and sailed out on manoeuvres, so there was nobody protecting these ships, and they started sinking. And coincidentally, there was a boat with school children in there, local school children, and they'd been taken out as a special treat to go and see the ships.
Hmm.
And the ships started sinking, and the kids, this is fantastic, the kids thought the ships were being scuttled for them, and they got very excited about these ships sinking in front of them, just for them.
Like, how cool is that?
Yeah, not as cool. Not that cool, actually.
Yeah, well,
children can be pretty intimidating.
After they realized what was going on, they were scarred for life. And
but are there any of those ships still there at Scapa Flow?
Yes, there are 5. Most of them got recovered after the war. I have to say that von Reuter is probably the best thing ever to happen to Scarpa Flow. You know, he provided so much employment and so much tourism by scuttling these ships, because most of them recovered. But you've still got 5 ships left, and you've got things like, my mind's gone a complete blank, the Margraf, which is a big battleship, and she's just fantastic to dive. So there's some really magnificent ships to dive up there. And there's one magnificent ship that you can't dive up there because she's a war grave. And this is the Royal Oak, and she was a Revenge-class battleship. And she was moored up there in the Second World War. And there was a very daring raid by a German called Gunter Prehm. He was a U-boat captain. And he managed to sneak into Scarpa Flow, and he scuttled her. He fired some torpedoes, and she sunk. Now, what's interesting about this is that I was diving. You know John Chatton and Richie Curler, don't you?
Yeah, guys? Absolutely. The shadow divers.
Right. Well, we were.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, the shadow divers. They were up in Scarpa Flow, and they were filming an episode of Scarpa Flow for Deep Sea Detectives, and I was working with them.
Right.
And I got sent out to find a location where we could actually film, where we could stick them in front of the Scarpa Flow, and they could film, and they could see the magnificent landscape. So off I trotted, and I found this farm, and I knocked on the door, and, hello, I'm from History Channel. Can we film here? And the farmer said, yes, come in. So we got the crew in. We did the filming, and at the end of it, John and Richie were talking to the farmer, and they said, well, you've got binoculars. What are they there for? And he said, well, I look at the site of the Royal Oak. And they went, oh, right, were you living here? And he said, yes, I was, actually. And they said, well, what happened? And he said, well, I was a boy and went to bed that night, and she was sitting mauled up, and in the morning she'd gone. And we thought she'd failed until we got a phone call about 11 o'clock from Kirkhall, which is a local town, saying that she'd been scuttled and most of the crew killed. And he said, but my neighbour across the way, the other side of the floe, heard her blow up. Okay, so what happened then? Said John and Richie. Oh, well, he thought that the land, a sea mine had come free and its chain had broke and it had bumped up against the shore and it blew up.
Okay, hold on. Hold that thought. This is, I'm intrigued. This
Me
is
too.
A cool story. I think I actually saw some of this show on Deep Sea Detectives as well as Treasure Quest, because they're doing some salvage in that area as well. More coming up with Roz next.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at exploreventures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Here at Scuba Radio, we've been fans of Force Fins for years. With over 12 styles and just about every color imaginable, Force Fins are in a league of their own. Now, they aren't the biggest company out there, just the best. So sometimes Force Fins are hard to find. That's why we've made the whole line of Force Fins available on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Order yourself a pair today, and they'll be delivered right to your door and be ready for your next dive. That's the merchandise page at scubaradio.com.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
Can't you feel them closing in, honey? Can't you feel them schooling around? You got fans to the left, fans to the right, and you're the only girl in town.
Hello there, this is Dr. Sylvia Earle, and this is Scuba Radio, the first radio program devoted exclusively to diving.
Thank you, Sylvia. All right, so from Sylvia to Roz. That's where we are right now. Roz is in the UK. So, well, I don't know. Where are you today, Roz, on the planet? Because you're traveling around the world all the time. No telling where you could be.
For once, I'm at home.
At home? At your summer home. Is that what you said?
No, for once, I am at home.
Oh,
my
for
home.
Once, yes. I forgot.
What she said was one for this one time,
right.
For once, she is at home. At some future time, she'll probably be somewhere other than at home. But for now, this once, she is at home.
Jimmy the Bubble Boy, could you translate? I have no idea what he just said.
Oh, I don't speak English. I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. Well, at least we're amusing Roz, and that's really all we strive to do here at Scuba Radio. But Roz, okay, let's pick up where your story left off. You're diving with Richie and John.
Well, actually, I don't know if she... Did you even dive on that trip, or were you just doing...
Well, she had to, because she scouted the location for the shoot, so you at least dove before they got there, I assume, right? Or no?
No, I didn't. I was a production assistant, so I was doing glorified things like finding locations and carrying kit, and making sure everybody got fed, and that kind of thing.
Okay, you did all the work,
so,
and they took
glamorous.
All the credit. I gotcha. That's pretty much how... And, okay. But, yeah, you found these these sites, and you're talking to this guy who was one of the kids who saw the ship go down. Is that what you were saying?
No, he slept through it, but he had neighbors. He had one of his neighbors went out to carve a cow.
Yeah.
And he looked down, and he could see the Royal Oak, and she was sinking, and it was under the moonlight, but he thought it was the moonlight paying tricks. So he just ignored it, went and carved his cow, came out and looked, and she'd gone, and he thought she'd failed, but she'd sunk. And then the
Okay, by the way, hold up, Roz, because once again, I got to get in translation. He called a cow. What did he carve?
No, he carved a cow. He carved a cow. It meant the cow was giving birth. So he helped the cow help give birth to a calf.
He calved a cow.
Okay.
All right. I don't know why he would be doing this, but
because he was a farmer and the cow needed to have the calf come out of it.
Okay.
He calved. So, it's not like reach down and turn your head and calf.
He was calving a cow and he noticed this. This boat was going down in the bay there or whatever and thought it was just the moonlight playing tricks on him?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right. So what?
And then this farmer, his friends were out courting and they heard the men calling for help, but they thought that the men were singing because previously the sailors would row into town and have a few beers.
Right.
And then row back and they'd be singing as they came home. And this courting couple thought that they heard singing and it wasn't. It was cries for help. So yeah. they went home and so nobody knew that she'd sunk until kind of midday next day.
Got it. So basically the sailors were really, really bad singers and when they were screaming for help, they just figured it was more of the same. I gotcha. So they didn't find out till the next day that something bad had happened.
Well, and in fact, from having heard the story, I'm not even 100% sure if they knew right away that something bad had happened because they look out in the water and the boat's not there, but quite often the boat would just sail out. They didn't pass around notices to all the neighbors saying, hey, we're sailing tomorrow, see you, bye.
Right. Man, you hear that awful singing? Yeah, but anyway, wow. Okay, so you found this out by talking to this guy. And
because no one ever leaves the area. Everyone who's ever been born there is still there. Every single person. If you don't die on a boat there, you're still there.
Okay. All right.
Bottom line.
Yeah, but what was the little bit of information that he shared that helped out?
Nothing. He knew some guy who could have known that the boat sank, but instead he helped his cow have a baby.
Roz, I think there's more to the story. I'm just guessing. Am I right or no?
Yes and no. I mean, the farmer and his father went and rowed out low tide.
Yeah.
And they were able to touch the bilge keel of the ship. And the next low tide, they could do it. And then 2 weeks' time, the same tide came. And she'd settled below the water. But 833 people died that night.
Mm.
So, a lot of them are buried in the cemetery on Hoy. And she's a war grave, and every year the armed forces go along and they raise a white ensign on her, and they put down one and they bring one up, and that's given to special people who are connected with the wreck. So.
Got it.
And I would like you to know, it is why we should all be glad that we're Americans, because this is the third most heartwarming story in all of English history.
Really?
Yes.
So what are the other two then, Bill?
I don't know what's more heartwarming than that, but more heartwarming than that probably doesn't involve 839 people dying. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah, obviously Bill's not allowed in the UK anymore.
when the Queen jumped out of the helicopter at the Olympics is another one.
Queen, yes, she is something else, isn't she?
And Freddie Mercury. But... Unrelated to that, if you want to hear more of these stories, you can have an opportunity to meet with Roz, because Roz will be at DEMA, our backyard, coming up here in just over a month.
She's going to be dressed up as something that you'd see in an octopus's garden. We're not sure what outfit we're going to put her in. What do you have for a costume idea? Yeah,
Roz.
Do you? You know, it's a week after Halloween.
Yes, I heard about your thing about Halloween costumes.
Yeah, Naked Scuba Boy is a big hit here.
Yeah, and the perfect solution, because you see, you were talking to Nick Bird, weren't you, of Dan?
Yes, absolutely.
And it got me thinking about, you know, safety and Halloween costumes.
Right.
And it's
safety
absolutely obvious. All Bill needs to do is just bandage you from head to foot in your dive kit. You know, you put your dive kit on, and then he just bandages you from head to foot, and you can be a diving mummy. It'd be perfect.
A diving mummy, like like mum. Like mum in the UK.
The
like
queen mum.
They call him mummy. 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 Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Okay, maybe.
Also, while you're there at DEMA, you're going to be working, doing some work with the folks from Light Monkey.
Yeah, that's right. They've got a really cool new product coming out, which I don't know if I can tell you about yet because it's not launched. But if I just tell you guys, can we just keep it between ourselves?
Yeah, of course.
You think?
Yeah, no one listens.
Would that be okay?
Mom, keep it to yourself, okay? All right.
Right, okay.
We're good.
They do helmets for divers because they use them when they're caving and cave diving and wreck diving, and they're just about to launch a special pink one, and this is a limited edition, and some of the proceedings from sale will go to something called Pink Tank, and this is a research program which was set up by the Rubicon Foundation and Dr. Dawn Kanagas, and it's looking at gathering data on health comms for breast cancer survivors. Because at the moment, if you're a breast cancer survivor and you go to your doctor and you go, hey, can I go diving now that I'm, you know, over it and I'm getting better, there is actually no data out there for cancer survivors and for physicians to go and look at and make a statement, you know, consensus decision whether or not this diver should be allowed to carry on diving.
Nice. Okay, so it's a pink helmet and you can... You know, well, we'll find out how you can get involved with that next and share it with everyone. Stay close.
Scuba. Scuba Radio.
Okay, I think we've cleared it up. All right, so at DEMA, they're going to launch this this dive helmet for technical divers.
Yes, yeah. A cave diving helmet. Light Monkey's going to release it at DEMA.
It's going to be pink, and you wear it to show your support for breast cancer awareness.
And some of the...
Yeah.
Well, it's not just that, because some of the proceeds are going to go towards doing research for cancer survivors diving.
Right.
So that there's some statistical information to back up whether or not a cancer survivor should be given the okay to dive.
Yeah, well, it could be a fashion statement as well. Pink dive helmet for cave divers. Why not? All right, so moving on. Our buddy Neil Watson is down in the Keys today with his friends, Captain Slate, and some friends, I believe. Am I right, Neil? They're from the Brazilian Dive Magazine. Your friends down there, are they with you too?
Yeah, we're down. Yeah, we're in Alamrod, actually. You're talking about a helmet. I'm down here with my buddy Captain Slate.
Yeah.
And some other friends, Alcides and Tatiana, which are from Brazil. They have the biggest dive publication in Brazil, also do boating magazines and promote boats. They are diving, fishing, boating, everything in Brazil. But also, we're at the History of Diving Museum.
Ah, excellent. Okay.
I'm here with Thomas Lockyer, which is executive director. And I tell you what, you talk about the best-kept secret cliché. This place is the must-see if you're a diver or care about the ocean and the history of diving. They got stuff that's older than I've ever dove with. That'll give you an idea of how old some of that stuff is.
But well,
no, it really is amazing. Actually, Thomas is here, and I'd love for him to say a few words about the facility.
All right. Well, hold on. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and talk to him. I mean, that's quite a treat. They're at the History of Diving Museum in Isla Morada. In walks Captain Slate and Neil Watson, two diving pioneers right there. If there's anybody in the museum right now, if they have any idea who's walking around, it's like, you know, they see all these displays like, hey, the guy who did that, he's standing right here next to you. That would be cool. But we'll talk to the curator and guy here next. Take quote.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. All right, so there's the History of Diving Museum down in Isla Mirada. Neil Watson is down there. Captain Slate's down there. And who do we have, Bill?
We have the curator, Mr. Thomas Lockyer. It's like Goodyear, only more secure.
Okay, fair enough. Thomas, welcome to Scuba Radio. How are you? How
I'm
are
doing
you?
Great. Thanks for having me.
You got it. So the History of Diving Museum, How often do diving pioneers like Neil Watson and Captain Slate walk through your doors? This is probably a regular occurrence, I'm guessing. Yeah?
I don't know that it's a regular occurrence. We've probably got a better chance of diving pioneers and celebrities walking in here than the average place down the road. But it's certainly an honor when it does happen. And, it's an exciting day today to have these guys in here.
I bet.
Unfortunately, there aren't a lot of people in the museum when we've got a beautiful day and the water's like glass. People are out diving instead of walking around inside a museum.
So, right. But if you get blown out when you're down in the Keys, man, what a great way to spend the afternoon at the History of Diving
Absolutely.
Museum down there in Isla Mirada. Now, Captain Slate and Neil Watson walking through the facility today. Are they looking around and going, oh, I wondered whatever happened to that piece of gear? I thought it was in my closet, but it's now here on display. That kind of stuff. I don't know. Did they bring anything?
He was expressing the only complaint that we ever get here, and that is that some of the stuff on display are now considered museum pieces when it just hasn't been that long in memory since he used it.
Yes. He goes like, I was using that last week. That was my primary regulator. What the heck, you know? But, no, it's great stuff. Yeah. I mean, you guys tell a really great story down there with the History of Diving Museum because it does kind of progress.
Yeah, 4,000 years of human history here.
Yeah. It starts when you first walk in, from what I remember, it's been about a year since I've been down there, but that first aisleway you walk through, you literally go chronologically through the history of diving, and it starts at, like, what, 18-something or other? I don't know. Do you know what it is off the top of your head?
Well, it starts before that. It's almost prehistory. We've got 4,000 years of diving history, and the timeline of diving history, as you're talking about that exhibit, it starts all the way back with the first recorded history of anybody diving, King Gilgamesh, back in the Sumerian era. It's from one of the oldest tablets with human writing on it. There's a record of somebody diving, so it goes way, way back.
Wow.
We have some amazing improbable contraptions from the 1800s and before that. So it's exciting.
If I can give you this advice, Thomas, do not ask Neil if he has, or Captain Slate, if they have any improbable devices, because trust me, they do.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Sounds like Thomas has heard enough stories already. There's the official record, and then there's the unofficial record that Captain Slade and Neil have been nice enough to share with us over the years here on Scuba Radio. But it is amazing stuff, and I know you guys do special events once a month or a couple times a month. Care to shed some light on that, Thomas, or what?
Sure. We have a monthly seminar series, the third Wednesday of every month. We do a free seminar coming up in October. Another diving pioneer, Pat Klein, one of the men who found the Atosha, is going to be speaking not only about working on that salvage, but also his opportunity where he rode a submersible down to the Titanic in order to place a memorial to Mel Fisher. So a lot of diving history, great opportunity for people to really immerse themselves. The name of that series is Immerse Yourself, and so every third Wednesday of the month, come on down for a free seminar. But we're also introducing a quarterly event series this year. And starting November 2nd, which is another dive pioneer, Art McKee, father of modern treasure diving, that's his birthday. And we're going to be doing Art McKee Days here in Isla Mirada at the History of Diving Museum. So we'll be doing quarterly events, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And we'll also be doing the monthly event as well. So it's a busy year here at the History of Diving. Hit our website, www.divingmuseum.org, for more information.
Excellent.
I'm going to pass you over to Slate, and maybe he can tell you one of those stories you were talking about.
Yes. Well, no, actually, he won't be able to do that. We're on the radio. But regardless.
Scuba Radio.
How you doing there, Captain Slate?
All right, buddy boy, what's up?
Well, you're not diving today, so you're just learning about the history, or...
Are you kidding?
Are you trying to change the history? Are you trying to change the record down there at the History of Diving Museum? Yes. Is that what it is, Slate?
I'm always trying to change. I was diving this morning. I did a wedding out on the statue this morning.
Oh, you did? Okay, so you already been out and about. I got you. So you're just spending spending your afternoon with Neil and friends at the History of Diving Museum today, then, I guess, right?
I mean, when Neil Watson calls, I'll do whatever he says.
Oh, boy.
We're down here with his friends.
Yeah?
Yeah, that leaves the world wide open, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, exactly. I was just going to say, obviously, we won't be able to talk about that on the air either. But regardless,
you bring that up. Well,
yeah.
His friends are down from Brazil, over from Brazil, and they're staying at the shop in their beautiful sailing boat, and we're going out again tomorrow. They do stay with us. We're going out to do the Creature Feature in the morning.
Oh, nice. So what have you been seeing at the Creature Feature lately? I mean, some new critters you've been working with, or what? What do you got?
Well, we got two moray eels, and we got this great big barracuda now is growing up faster than I can keep up with him. Unfortunately, our longline fishermen have killed all the sharks. We only had one show up here recently, so we're praying that they come back.
Yeah. Now, is that something that your Brazilian friends have been going, oh, my God, I've never seen anything like this before in our part of the world, and it's totally new to them, or what do you think? What have they shared in that regard?
Well, that's what they're going to see tomorrow, yeah.
Yeah.
They want to go out and film Creature, and I'm excited to take them and have a little fun out there with them. And it's funny because we're here in the History of Diving Museum, and in November, I think Thomas just said it's Art McKee week, and I've got his anchor, the biggest anchor that he ever brought up, sitting at the dive shop with three cannon from the El Capitan, the group of wrecks that grounded here in 1733.
Oh, so that anchor you have there at the dock is his? That encapsulates Atlantis Diver? Yeah. Yeah, that thing is awesome.
He brought it up in 1947.
Yeah. Now, if they really want to get a lot of people down there for that event, by the way, I mean, he was a treasure salver other than, you know, things like anchors. I mean, I think he ought to give away free treasure to everyone who shows. What do you think?
Yeah, we can give away free treasure.
That's right.
About that, yeah. He said, no worries. He'd open up the place.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Absolutely. Yeah, they got all kinds of cool stuff like that on display down there. And learning about things like that. But it's quite a resource to have for all the dive operators down there in the Florida Keys to have a place to go spend an hour or two down there for sure to see.
I've been in here 15 times, and I can't. Every time I go in there, I forgot something that I didn't see last time. It's unbelievable. I mean, if you ever want to see a diving helmet from start to finish, they got them all.
Got it. Absolutely.
And also, I'll tell you, Thursday we shot another episode, another pilot on the reality show. So
you did?
It's going to happen.
What was the theme? Can you give us a little tidbit of what they tried to capture? Or do you know what the storyline was?
Oh, yeah. Well, Annette, the second ex-wife, Hunter's sitting here, by the way. He said, hey. And
all right.
She's now the manager of the store in the show and screaming at me just like we were married. I brought back some, you know, real life trauma to me. I had to go home and take an aspirin. But stop.
Oh, brother.
And girls up on the highway in scantily clad bikinis waving signs, and then it goes over to Amy's. So, you know, we're always competing with each other. It's really funny.
Interesting. Now, why were the scantily clad people in bikinis on the side of the road? What were they doing exactly? Just flagging in potential customers? What?
Well, that was supposedly be my new scheme to get all the divers to stop. And I'll tell you what, it was a traffic jam. They couldn't take because of all the horns going off. Gorgeous women up there, and
God,
I could blow my nose one time on all their bikinis.
Yeah. Oh, brother. Okay, well, hey, that's going to be a heck of a reality show. I have no doubt. Clean Slate is still the tentative title. Is that right? They're still working on it?
They changed it to Real Slate.
Oh, Real Slate. Real Slate. That's right. Yeah.
Because I am the Real Slate, and Amy's the fake Slate.
Got it. Okay, yeah, yeah. Fair enough. Yeah, he's definitely not clean. Trust me. But he's real. He's real. He is so real. You got to love it. All right, we got more coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Stay close.
Scuba Radio.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Light and Motion, leading the industry in high-powered LED lighting and underwater video systems year after year. Light and Motion, consistently ranking at the top of the innovative technology spectrum. Light and Motion, 100% built in the USA in a historic warehouse on Cannery Row since 1989. Light and Motion, tomorrow's technology today. Light and Motion, look for the name the pros trust in a dive center near you. Light and Motion, on the web at lightandmotion.com.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
We gotta
get down, get down.
Gotta
get down.
Has dialed up 888-88-SCUBA. He is on Scuba Radio right now. James, what's up, buddy?
Well, first off, what's the question about whether or not to dive as a cancer survivor? I've been doing it for 15 years.
What do you mean? Surviving?
No, I've been diving as a cancer survivor for 15 years.
Yeah, well, exactly. So what are you saying? You want a pink diving helmet? Is that what it is?
I don't know. I'm just wondering what the big question is. Anyway, no, in terms of diving, this week is a good start. I just ordered a brand new BC to replace the one that was stolen a couple months ago.
Right. Yes. So it's taken a while, but you had your dive equipment insurance, and it's covered, and now you've gotten money, and it's time to get all new toys. So in the long run, this is working out pretty good. You have, I don't know, do you got a little thank you to the Booglers to throw out there, or a little shout out for your dive equipment Booglers?
I don't know about that.
Yeah,
but,
no.
I've made arrangements to meet the custom dive suit people at the Scuba Radio booth at DEMA to have the new suits made.
All right, well, there you go. Yeah, so they're going to be there at the show, and they're going to measure you up right there and actually have one custom made. Do you know what are you going to have made exactly other than your specifications, like unique colors? Cancer survivor, you could go for a pink wetsuit. They make those.
I don't think I'm going to go with pink.
No, no pink? But, okay.
The dive suits I had were custom made, and they have the nice ankle and wrist zippers and things like that, so they're easier to get in and out of.
Yeah.
And my skin was very colorful, but they don't have a material to match what I had.
Well, you know, we were talking about last week wearing morph suits underwater as dive skins, which, by the way, I got a couple emails from folks who thought that actually was a crappiest idea they had ever heard. But that's okay. I still think it could work. But maybe when you're having your wetsuit made, do something unique. I mean, you know, they got wetsuits made like the uniforms of the Starship Enterprise folks. The folks from the Roddenberry Dive Adventures have done that. Maybe you ought to do something unique as opposed to just having this custom wetsuit made. What do you think?
Well, custom is for fit, and colors, I hadn't even thought of that too
right.
much.
Right, go for a design. Go for an upgrade.
Get the listeners to send in suggestions.
All right, so I don't know. Let me think about this. You know, this could tie into Halloween as well.
Naked scuba boy.
Naked? No, that wouldn't work well.
It should be a dive suit that looks like you're naked.
Oh well, like those skins I told you that kind of have the t-shirts that I told you about the Surf Expo that makes you look like you're, you know, a workout like a major supermodel.
No. I think it should be one that would look exactly like you would look if you were naked.
Okay, so a flesh-covered or colored wetsuit.
Not just flesh-colored.
Yeah.
Flesh-colored and, you know, scars.
How about
on
this?
It
you know, I'm thinking more like Halloween. And, you know, what is one of the comments that divers get when they put on a wetsuit, especially a really thick wetsuit? You kind of walk around, especially if it's a little tight. You kind of feel like the Michelin Man type of thing. Why not actually have it painted white like the Michelin Man mascot or the Stay Puft?
I think that would be a little distracting underwater.
Stay Puft giant from Ghostbusters.
Yes,
you know?
You have chosen the form of the Destroyer.
Yeah, see, I'm telling you, why not have fun with it? I'm telling you, there
Sigourney
is a market.
Weaver.
There is a market here for whether it's dive skins like morph suits or starting to work in designs like that underwater. Why not do that, Bill? Come on, seriously. I mean, they have. You know, they have camo wetsuits for spear fishermen.
Yes.
I mean, now you wear one of those things and somebody thinks you're part of the Duck Dynasty. You know what I'm saying? But, if you took that a step further and got even more creative with your wetsuit designs, like Sue's from, Scuba Doo Rag, she does that a little bit with her, you know, the Scuba Cowboy was talking about that last week where she does some feet. You know, sock type things with crazy designs on them, but they're just like psychedelic type of designs. They're not really prints to make you look like something else, and that's what I'm saying.
Barracuda.
How about Barracuda?
I am the world's fattest Barracuda.
I got it. How about this? How about you have a wetsuit with the color of bubbles and water wrapped around like a wallpaper on your phone. And then you just mix into the environment, and you're so stealth-like that people, you're like invisible. It's like a superpower. I'm telling you, there is something here. There is an idea.
There is an idea there that's a good one, conveniently hidden under the pile of garbage of ideas that you have come up with. But somewhere in there, there is a good idea waiting.
Okay, we just got to come up with the right, maybe that's it. Maybe you're an underwater superhero, and it's a superhero outfit, just like the Star Trek wetsuits. You know, they had the Captain Kirk wetsuit, the Stock or Spock.
Yeah, the Captain Kirk one, actually, it looks as though you've ripped your shirt off, and you're wrestling with some large being made out of styrofoam rocks.
Yes, well, I mean, so, you know, that would be your buddy. He could play the role or have the wetsuit that makes him look like a big pile of rocks.
I think one that makes it look like you're wearing a tuxedo. You know, not the thing where you got the tuxedo and you unzip the wetsuit and there you are in a perfectly dry tuxedo. No, a wetsuit that looks like it is already a tuxedo.
Okay, well, that maybe. See, that would work. That's
well, they have morph suits like that.
Actually, or a penguin.
Well,
well
you
that
know,
would be a bad idea if morph you want to shark dive.
I'm telling you, we're going to make something work with this, but taking it to morph suits and to wetsuits. It's a natural progression. See, it's an idea that was crappy to begin with that we've even made it worse. That's just what we do.
Just when you thought it wasn't possible.
Yeah. All right, well, that'll do it for this week's edition of The Big Show. Till next time, remember, it's always better
down where it's wetter.
Good having it, buddy.
Under the sea. These little snail, you know how to whale here. That's why it's hot under the water. Yeah, we didn't look here. Now we can fuck here under the sea.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.